It's literally the best part of my job. Every year, getting the opportunity to go and surprise people with your generosity, to just say, no strings attached, you're doing great work. We want to help you do more great work right here in our community to make our community better. It's our privilege and honor, and it's just always such an extraordinary experience, and I wish I could take you along, but that's how we try to take you along with us in that. If you haven't given to Be Rich yet, it's not too late. You can still give to Be Rich. We have lots more checks we're wanting to deliver, so that is still open. But today, our focus is on serve. And what I'd love for you to do, you're going to hear from some more people. You got to hear from Bruce in an interview with Andy a few weeks ago. But today, we have four partners, specifically from Buckhead Church, that are partners here at Buckhead Church. And I would love for you to help me give them a warm Buckhead Church welcome to our stage. So if we could do that now. You guys, come on right in. Make yourself at home. I'll do some formal introductions here real quick. But first, thank you guys all for making the time to do this. I know you're all busy people, and you're doing great work, and I don't want to pull you away from that, but I think this will be a great work today to give us some insight into the things that you guys do. So I'm going to start over here. This is Stacy Wienick, and Stacy is the senior manager of all of the corporate and faith partners partnerships at Open Hand. This is Marvin Nesbitt. Marvin is the president, has been with Focus Community Strategies for a while, but he's now newly the president of FCS. Over here is Edward Phillips. Edward works that you just saw in the video. You saw City of Refuge. Edward is their chief development officer at City of Refuge. He's going to give us the real story on City of Refuge. And then over here, the prodigal son has come home. This is Tinsley Almond. Just kidding. Tinsley is the president and CEO, longtime friend of Atlanta Mission, formerly the lead pastor at Decatur City Church. And so excited to have all of you here today. Sorry about the prodigal son comment.
It's good to be home.
It's good. So I want to start with, we're just going to go around. I'm going to start with you over here, Stacy. Ladies first. Tell us a little bit about what you do, why you exist, and sort of the core components of Open Arm. Or Open Hand. I did that before. Yeah. We had, in my previous church, we had a partner called Open Arms. And so Open Hand and Open Arms, a lot similar.
No,
so
no
sorry
problem.
About that.
Well, thank
Open
you.
Hand.
Thank you for having us here today. Open Hand, our mission's simple, but it changes lives. The mission is we cook, we deliver, we teach, we care. So for more than 35 years, we've been delivering nourishing meals to our neighbors in need. People living with or at risk for chronic and critical illness, heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes, and more. And these people are living at or below the poverty line, and many tell us that if it weren't for Open Hand, they wouldn't know where their next meal is coming from. So when that meal is delivered directly to their door by one of our dedicated volunteers, they know it's more than just a meal. It's love, it's dignity, and it's the knowledge that somebody out there cares. And we're accredited by the Food is Medicine Coalition. So our meals are medically tailored. And that means they're healthy and nutritious, and it really helps people live healthier, stronger lives. We rely on our volunteers to pack and deliver those meals. They're made in our new campus, our community nutrition center on the Upper West Side, yep. And we're just cranking them out. 1.4 million meals every year. Volunteers save us about $1.3 million every year.
1.4 million meals. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So it's.
So this is like so personal in our house when we pray. I sort of teach my kids, hey, you know, you don't ever worry where your next meal's coming from, but there's lots of people in our world, and not just in our world, but in our city, who don't know where their next meal's coming from, and you guys are the answer to a lot of people's prayers as they're in a difficult situation, and many of them need specific types of meals, not just, you know, anything to get them by, and so that's really extraordinary. I'll come over here to you, Marvin. Marvin is the president of Focus Community Strategies. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do, your core mission, and sort of the core components of what you do.
Sure. Again, thank you for having us here. This morning, it's great to be here. Great to be in the house of the Lord one more time and feeling the blessings this morning through singing and praise. So thank you. So FCS, we are a 47-year-old place-based community development organization who has a footprint primarily made up of the historic South Atlanta neighborhood and the Thomasville Heights neighborhood. We've been working in historic South Atlanta now for 25 years, and now working in the Thomasville Heights community for approximately 3 years. And so our mission at FCS is to partner with local neighborhoods to produce solutions that promote flourishing for neighbors as well as God's shalom. And so we like to say that we work at FCS to reweave the fabric of neighborhoods. And it's simple for us. Our premise is that in order to create flourishing lives, we have to create flourishing places. Mm-hmm. So we focus on place in our work. And so we do that through four primary pillars of work. First, our neighborhood health and wellness, where we work to develop solutions and strategies with the neighborhood that improves health outcomes in the neighborhood. We also have an education pillar where we partner with our education cluster of schools to change the trajectory of the kids attending the cluster schools. And then we also do affordable housing development. So we build and sell affordable housing, 80 to 120% AMI. We also have a rental portfolio that consists of 32 units of single family homes that we rent at 30% AMI. And we also do some multi-family affordable housing development. And then finally, we do a lot of our work through our economic development pillar, where we're working to help improve the economic trajectory of the neighbors in the neighborhoods, providing jobs and trying to make the dreams of entrepreneurship a reality.
Yeah, it's good. So in layman's terms, I'm gonna tell you what he just said. Here's essentially what they do. They've gone into these neighborhoods, and instead of, you've heard of gentrification projects. Well, theirs is a revitalization, and what they don't do is bulldoze things down and build new things and price people out of their own neighborhoods where they've grown up and they've lived. They're going in and they're working with the people in the community to raise the level and the quality of life, to help people thrive in all sorts of ways in the community. In fact, one of the communities they're in is there's a food desert. So tell them a little bit about the Carver Market and the community grounds.
Absolutely. So approximately 10 years ago, when we moved into the neighborhood 25 years ago, the neighborhood was a food desert. And so we tried everything that we could to get one of the big box operators to come into the neighborhood. However, none would take on the opportunity. And so we decided we would just do it ourselves. And so we had some space. We created a small 3,000 square foot grocery store that provides healthy food options for the neighborhood. So now the neighbors in the neighborhood don't have to travel 3 miles in order to get fresh fruits and vegetables. They can just come to the local market. Many other people who work in the store live in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. so they walk to work. So it's also providing economic opportunity through jobs and job placement for those individuals in the neighborhood.
And the coffee shops created some community there as well.
Yeah, so we also operate a small coffee shop. I don't know, we decided that we needed a third place in the neighborhood, a place where neighbors could come together and gather and build genuine, true, meaningful relationships, sit down and just build that social cohesion that's important to every neighborhood that I'm sure many of you reside in now. So we have a group of neighbors that come in every morning and buy a good cup of coffee. And just in case you're looking for a place to buy a good cup of coffee, I promise you it is the best taste and cheapest cup of coffee you could find in the city. So make sure you come and visit us at Community Grounds. But it is that third place where our neighbors come together and problem solve and build relationships.
Yeah, and I love how you guys do things with excellence. I mean, it's the market is beautiful. It's an incredible spot, and the same with the coffee grounds. The people, they were like some 80% of the people that work in the market and the coffee shop are residents in that community. So you're also providing meaningful jobs for people as well. So that's really awesome. I'm going to come over here to Edward. Edward, we've heard a little bit about City of Refuge. But give us a little more of your perspective. Remind us what City of Refuge does, and then a little bit from your perspective of some of the most exciting things happening there.
So City of Refuge is a one-stop shop for individuals and families who are in crisis, meaning when someone steps foot onto our campus, our goal is that we're able to look at them and say, hey, everything you need to get out of crisis is all right here in one place. You don't have to go all over the city to a bunch of different organizations. We're going to try to bring all those resources all into one place to speed up your pathway to recovery, success, self-sufficiency. So that looks like things like a private preschool that's tuition-free, a private school education that's tuition-free, job training and workforce development programs. We have housing programs for men and women, have a medical clinic on our campus, counseling, spiritual support as well. So really making sure that, again, all of that is provided all in one place to help speed up that pathway to success, and knowing that anyone who steps foot on our campus, no matter what that crisis is, we're able to say yes to them right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you lead all development there, and I know one of the things that over time has part of the development, not the financial development, but the development of the program is the youth programs. And it's a significant work because in that community, not only is poverty high, but so is crime. And some 60% of the murders that happen in our city happen in your zip code. And so talk a little bit about how several years ago, your strategy shifted towards the youth.
So we, about 10 years ago, really said, hey, if we're going to impact our neighborhood long term, we need to be providing more resources for the next generation of leaders right here in our neighborhood. And so we're about a mile and a half from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the historic West Side, where, again, you're right, 60% of the murders in Atlanta happen in our neighborhood. But really looking at the kids in our neighborhood who kind of fall into the shadows of local schools, who really have a lack of opportunity, honestly, to really be able to succeed, we're able to link arms with them and say, hey, we're going to provide individualized education for you that's Christ-centered right here on our campus. And we have buses. We're going to get you to and from school. We have after-school programs, summer camps, everything to provide all the opportunity and resources you need. This year we have about 125 kids in our 3rd through 12th grade school now, and only one of them comes from a two-parent household. So all tuition-free, living below the poverty line, but really looking at, hey, we wanted to continue to grow the school as well to make sure that we can expand that. Yeah. And so when we look at, hey, how are we going to do that? That's turning to a place like Buckhead as well to say, hey, we want to be able to develop and go all the way down through kindergarten and provide as much opportunity as we can on our campus for the kids in our community.
That's great. Tinsley, Atlanta Mission's one of the oldest organizations serving our city, really dating, as we were talking earlier, all the way back to the Great Depression, started as a soup kitchen. Tell us a little bit about today, the main goal of Atlanta Mission and kind of the core components of what you guys do.
Yeah, so Atlanta Mission exists simply to transform through Christ the lives of those who are experiencing homelessness, poverty, and addiction. And so probably like you would expect, I mean, the core component of that is meeting those basic emergency service needs, you know, stability, safety, security. What do you need to get off the street, stabilize, so that we can begin to help you break those cycles that cause homelessness and addiction? And then ultimately, it then grows from there into really what we call our transformational model. It's about a year-long program that, like I said, starts with meeting those emergency needs, but then grows all the way through how do we help you get healthy relationally, spiritually, vocationally, and then even into transitional housing, and then ultimately into, it culminates with a vocational training program where we teach the soft skills that are needed, not just to get a job, because we find that a lot of our clients are really good at getting jobs, but like so many of us, it's hard sometimes to keep that job, and so that's really what our program focuses on, is how can we help you have the tools to keep that job. And what we're finding is of those clients who go all the way through that process, we're seeing about 70% a year after graduation still have their job and still have that living situation. And so to kind of put that in perspective, we're talking about at any given time, we'll have up to 800 men, women, and children staying with us at Atlanta Mission, either here in the city or at our Addiction Recovery Center out in Athens.
That's amazing. So I'm curious, how's your perspective shifted from, you used to be in my seat, leading the church and trying to highlight and encourage people to get involved in organizations in our community. How's your perspective changed now leading one of those organizations?
Yeah, I think ultimately I have such a deeper and maybe richer perspective now. I mean, I loved the seat that I got to sit in at Decatur City, and you know, contrary to the dig, this is a hard place to leave, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel very called to ministry. I'm kind of one of those old school people that I genuinely feel called to to ministry. And so, but what I have found is that at Atlanta Mission, I feel like it's probably the most authentic version of church I've ever been a part of, because it's we are truly the hands and feet, as are all the men and women on the stage. We have the opportunity to meet people right where they are. We say all the time that hope lives here. That's kind of our tagline. And the idea is that, you know, hope lives here because Jesus is here. Mm-hmm. And we're in this transformational space, and we get to see people's lives renewed, restored, healed, yep. changed, and set off in radically different directions. So
that's good. I love that. Well, I thought it'd be good for you to hear how some of your past generosity, if you've contributed in the past to Be Rich or contributed to our church, you've been a part of resources that have gone to these organizations and done some significant things. I'm going to start over here with Marvin. Tell us about, I have a personal fondness for the bike program, so we'll start there. Tell us a little bit about about the bike program, but also how the church's generosity has helped kind of make that thrive.
Yeah, sure. Well, we have at Focus Community Strategies, we have a youth group that we've been operating for a number of years, and during COVID, one of the team members decided that she wanted to teach some kids how to ride bikes. She realized that kids weren't riding bikes anymore, and they were kind of stuck in the house during COVID, so it was a way to get them out of the house in a safe way and also get them active. And so that kind of grew into an opportunity to develop a program around it, where we're teaching kids how to ride bikes. And I'd say, you know, growing up in South Carolina, you know, we had old bike parks laying around the streets, and all of a sudden, you know, we walked to a neighbor house, and by the time we got there, we had a whole bike that we had put together. And so kids today, you know, just don't ride bikes, but it's an opportunity for us to teach kids how to not just ride bikes and be active, but also teach them how to manage and maneuver the bikes and control the bikes like life, right? Control the bikes instead of allowing life to control you. So it's been a great initiative for us that you all have supported and donated bikes to. And so kids, as I said, don't have bikes. And so now, because of your generosity, we have kids that have bikes in the neighborhood, and they ride. And so it's just been a great opportunity, so much so that our local school cluster has adopted this program and made it a club at the schools.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you guys started something that's led the way, that's created community amongst the youth in your neighborhood, that now the school system's taking notice of, and you're leading the way genuinely in creating community and health amongst kids in your community. Did you want to say something else about that?
No.
Okay. So I'll move over to you, Stacy. Tell us a little bit about something that's happened at Open Hand, and how that's impacted what you guys do.
Sure. We've been partners with Bucket Church for many years now, so there's so many things on campus that we can point to that you guys have helped fund. Things in our kitchen, like tilt skillets and other equipment that help us make those 1.4 million meals every year, refrigerated vans that go out into the community to deliver those meals. But another thing that we love that you guys helped fund is our proprietary ordering system. And without getting too in the weeds of software, it as people age or as they get sick, they lose a lot of autonomy, right? They don't have as many choices in life. They don't have the ability to control things, including choices over what they eat. But this system allows them to let us know what they like and what they don't like, mm-hmm. so that they can order their meals every week and get to choose what they want to eat. And really, our meals are delicious, but of course people have personal preferences. Yeah. So having that choice in life really gives them the dignity that they deserve. And it's really something that we believe strongly in, that people deserve that dignity. And that's, again, part of our mission: love, dignity, and nutrition delivered right to their doors.
Yeah, and I love how personalized that is. That's cool. It reminds me of, you know, something that we participated with you guys in at Atlanta Mission. Tell us a little bit about the project where you guys, for some of your infrastructure that you talked about before.
Yeah, and I mean, it's when you ask, like, what's something that's impacted the mission, given how long our relationship is, I kind of felt like you. It's so hard to point to one thing because you've gone so deep with us in so many areas. And I asked one of our staff. I was like, hey, what is your favorite thing about the relationship with Buckhead Church? And I love how they described it because she said, Buckhead Church's support really meets the head and the heart of our mission. And the heart is obviously the people we serve. And you've done things with us that are directly client-facing, whether it be volunteer projects or finances given, that make people's lives better. Mm-hmm. But you also get the head of the mission, right? Mm-hmm. And like that, when I say that, like the strategy or the infrastructure. And so you've given IT support. You helped us create last year a client badging system. And again, client badging system doesn't sound super romantic or amazing, but what it does is it enables us to track the journey of a client throughout the year that they're with us. Yep. And that creates dignity in the life of a person. Yep. Because they're able to then to see where they are in the process, how much longer they have to go, how much progress they've already made. It helps them have choice and, yep, and choosing the next class they're going to take and things like that. And so, yeah, you've shown up and supported things that most other organizations would never show up to support. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things I want you to know, that you've enabled us to go to people and say, hey, what do you need most? And whether it's a position for a certain period of time or some infrastructure or a software, what we don't want is organizations that are doing great work to shift away from their core competency and come up with something. A lot of nonprofits feel the need to generate something new or create something that sounds sexy or sounds like something they could raise money for, as opposed to, hey, you're doing a great job. How can we help you do what you're doing better or do more of what you're doing, which is sort of y'all's story. So tell us a little bit about City of Refuge and something we've been involved with.
So, I mean, the same. We've been longtime partners with Buckhead and Be Rich, and there's so many projects you guys have made possible for us. And, you know, when you got to see some of that come to life today in the video, so a lot of very generous investment into our job training and workforce readiness programs, making our housing programs possible. But particularly, one thing I wanted to point out is our city school program. So historically, it was only 5th through 12th grade. Over the past 2 years, we've been able to expand that by adding 3rd and 4th grade, and are strategically working on adding kindergarten 1st and 2nd that will come in next August. And so when we really looked at, hey, how do we catch kids earlier on in this process, because they're coming in 2 to 3 years behind in reading and math. And if we could just catch them earlier, we wouldn't have to spend 1 or 2 years catching them up. Yeah. And so we turned to Buckhead and Be Rich and said, hey, we want to be able to grow the school and expand these grades. And you guys stepped up with incredible generosity to make that possible and grow our student enrollment from about 80 kids a year now to 125 kids while adding those grades and making that possible as well. Yeah.
Well, and I didn't know all of what was even possible within the footprint of what you guys have. You guys have utilized your space so well there and are reutilizing some of the space to expand that. So tell a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're a 210,000 square foot warehouse space. And so we have had some underused recreation space that our kids used here and there. And as we have worked on expanding all the way down through kindergarten, we said, hey, we need to take this space and build out all K through 5 classrooms so we can have a dedicated space for elementary school, middle school, and high school. And again, once all of that is done and open by next August, we'll have capacity for about 200 kids, which is incredible life change for us to be able to look at them and say, hey, you're not going to fall behind in school anymore, right, and we're going to give you an opportunity to succeed in life.
Yep. That's good. So that's exciting. So starting next year, you'll have K through 12 all under house. That's awesome. I'm going to stay with you while we're here. Tell us, so I'm going to shift gears here. My goal today is to try to inspire everybody here to take a step. There's a lot of great ways, as they're going to hear in a moment, for people to be involved in your organizations. So I'd love for you to tell, if people sign up to serve today, what are some of the things that they could do to serve within your organization, and why does that matter to you? Why does it matter when people don't just sign up, but when they show up and serve alongside you and your team? We'll go ahead and start with you.
Absolutely. So this time of year, kind of the last stretch of the year, is one of the busiest times on our campus. So a lot of folks come to us looking for help, and we need a community like Buckhead to step in and say, hey, we are here to help. Obviously, that alleviates stress from our staff, but also we're able to look at those that we walk alongside and serve and say, hey, this community is surrounding you, and they are here for you, even though life is crazy for them. that they're making time to be here and show up and ultimately just link arms and let them see that someone else is for them and it's not just City of Refuge. I mean, a couple opportunities I'll point out to be able to jump in, whether it's coming in and serving a meal on campus, whether it's in our school or in our kitchen where we serve those 350,000 meals a year, to coming into our after-school program and tutoring and mentoring a kid, to even jumping in and mentoring. So a cool opportunity that we launched with Buckhead is actually a monthly mentorship. So our kids wanted and desired to see life outside of City of Refuge in the community that they grew up in. And you guys have partnered with us to be able to create that mentorship program. And then one other opportunity I'll point out is I have a young family myself, and a lot of folks are looking for family serving opportunities. And we have a couple opportunities that are coming up this fall. One in a couple weeks, our Trunk or Treat event, which fills up very quickly. So kids from all over the community show up to Trick or Treat. You set up a table and are able to pass out candy and play fun games with the kids. And then our what we call our Come to Christmas event, which is in December. And it's a Christmas craft night. So you just set up a craft table. Families come in from all over the community and just help create those meaningful experiences and memories as well.
That's good. What about the mission?
Yeah, there are so many ways to get involved. And so I'll start with the second part of your question, which is why it's important. At Atlanta Mission, our vision is a community that's united to end homelessness one person at a time. And the reason that's so important to us is because one of the things that we've found in this work is just as debilitating as material poverty is, relational poverty, something that we talk about a lot at our organization, is so paralyzing. And what we find is for so many of our clients, not only are they experiencing material poverty, but they're really void of healthy, significant relationships. And that's really where you come in, and that's where I come in, and it's where the power of community is so important, is because when you show up, even if you feel like maybe I didn't accomplish a lot, or maybe we didn't, you know, move the ball down the field that far, what I can assure you is you helped our clients get rooted back into community. You showed them that they matter, you showed them that they're important. And you made a difference just by being there. And so when we think about projects, one of the things we talk about often is that we have kind of do for projects, but then we also, because of that power of community, we have be with projects. Yeah. And so like do for is you show up and it's a campus beautification project, or it's a paint project, or it's a sorting project. And there's all kinds of things you can do that you're doing for. But I find some of the most meaningful, and one of the ways we focus our Be Rich projects is on these Be With projects. And so we'll be launching with you guys over the next couple of weeks a series of projects that lead up to Christmas, where they're just designed for you to show up and be with our clients. Our small group, for instance, every year, and we texted about this yesterday, we show up around Christmas time and we build gingerbread houses with the kids who are staying with us. And it's messy and it's chaotic and it's loud, and I always leave there like, you know, a little bit stressed out thinking, did we do anything? But there's so much laughter, there's so much joy, there's so much energy, and you just created at least an hour in the life of a child that felt normal, when maybe most of their life hasn't felt normal. And you can do that. There's stocking decorating, there's tree decorating, there's campus decorating. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to show up and either do for our clients or be with our clients.
That's good. I love that. I love that distinction. Speaking of being with, I've been with you guys down there for the at Christmas time. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do. It's kind of, that's a transformation in and of itself during Christmas time.
Yeah, so, you know, we're working to continue to build out opportunities for volunteering, you know, through our literacy day reading and our fall fest. But this time of the year comes into some great opportunities, and you all have been a great partner with us during this time of year. And what he's referring to is our Christmas store. So some of you may have been involved and came and served. So what happens is we turn our community center into a mini Toys R Us. And so it doesn't even look like the same facility anymore. And what we do during this time is, you know, through the generous donations and gifts of different organizations donating toys, we provide an opportunity for the families within the neighborhood to provide Christmas gifts and toys for their families in the most dignified way. We are in a neighborhood where the area median income is still below $30,000. So as you can imagine, it's difficult and a lot stressful for families to provide a great Christmas for their families. And so you all come in and join us in setting up the store. You all help wrap gifts and place gifts in the store. You also, you interact with the families and help them do their shopping. And so we certainly invite you all back to participate and, awesome. And join us in that intensive 2-week process of managing that store. And I say it's important because we don't have unlimited resources at FCS. We don't have unlimited financial resources. We don't have unlimited human capital to provide this opportunity for the families. And so you all fill a significant gap for us in helping us with this. And so we're so grateful and so thankful for all that you all do in helping us with the Christmas store.
I love that. All right, Stacey, I need you to tell me again, quote for me the number. You guys rely heavily. A big line item in your budget is volunteers, and it saves you how much money a year?
Probably about $1.3 million.
$1.3 million because of the volunteer workforce.
Right, so it's important, but we'll jump back a little bit to the why, like Tinsley said. So 37 years ago when Open Hand started, it was neighbors feeding neighbors, right? When people are sick, we make them a meal. Mm-hmm. So then they started 37 years ago. They moved from a home kitchen into the kitchen at St. Bart's Church over on La Vista Road, and we grew and grew, and now we're in this new campus over on the west side. And it's important. What we do, obviously, is important in the community. So we need your help. We use volunteers to pack meals. That's an important shift. Come to campus, pack meals with us, and we play music, and it's a little assembly line, put on your hairnet and pack meals. And then you can also deliver meals, and you can bring the kids along with that one. A lot of times when you're out in the community delivering meals, you're the only person that our clients see that day. Kids can come along again and kind of see what the community looks like outside of their neighborhood. Those opportunities are Monday through Saturday. It's app-driven. It's easy. Watch a video, a little how-to. We've got a great volunteer services team that's going to set you up for success. We just really rely on our volunteers, and we want to make it fun and rewarding, and it's really impactful to our mission.
Yeah. You guys have heard me say many times, we want to be a church that when we leave this place, we don't want what we do to just stay in this place. We want to go be the church where we live, work, and play. We just don't want to attend church. We want to be the church. And the big why behind Be Rich, we definitely have an agenda. And if you want to know what the agenda behind Be Rich is, it's simply this. We want our community to know that we're here, to be glad that we're here, and to be better off because we're here. It does our community no good if we just are good unto ourselves. That's what my grandmother would call good for nothing. That's good for nothing. We want to be good to our community and be of good to our community. And so this is the time of year we not only give, but we want to serve. These leaders are doing great work in our community. And I'll just say thank you to you guys. We do something we think we do pretty well here. This is what we do, but we're not good at what you guys do. And you're a gift to the body, and linking arms with you and being able to serve our city is an incredible privilege. And I just thank you for the excellence with which you do things. The stewardship, the conscientiousness. Something you may not know is all these organizations, they have high standards of accountability. And even with us, they go through vetting processes, and regularly they're willing to show their financials, and we're able to look at those things. And so incredibly trustworthy organizations. And I think you should go serve, because I think it'll be good for you. It's not, you've not only heard why it's good for the organizations, but in some ways, they're saying, "Hey, we need you. We need people to show up for our organization to be with and to do for." But I'll just tell you, you need this. You do. You need to get outside your world. You need to get outside your bubble. So do your kids, so that they can experience the world. As I was saying earlier, they just forget what they have and what they're privileged to. And so getting outside that world and linking arms and doing meaningful work in the community is a great way, I would say, to disciple your kids. So I just want to say thank you again. Can we thank these guys one more time for being with us today? I'm going to give you some logistics and some specific information, but I'm about to send all these guys out to the lobby. They're going to be out in the lobby. There's several different stations lobby. If you'd like to talk with them afterwards, find out more about their organization or about the specific serving opportunities and whether it be right for you or your small group or your family, they're going to be out there to talk to. I'll tell you more about how to sign up for, but it would not be a Be Rich Day if I didn't hand them one of these. And so each of you are going to receive a check today because of the generosity of people in our church. Thank you so much. I'm going to dismiss you guys. You guys can head out to the lobby. Give them one more huge round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Buddy. So well deserved, and thank you so much for your generosity. Not only your generosity, your interest. I think sometimes we forget this is our city, and too much is given, much is required, and much is expected. And generosity. I had the opportunity recently to speak to some donors for one of our organizations, organizational partners, and generosity can be simply defined as giving more than's required. And all of you have done that. And as we all do a little bit, we do our part. You give more than is required because there's not a lot required of you. But in our city, there's a stewardship to what we have and what we've been given, the time, the talent, the energy that we have. And I'm so proud that I get to be a part of this church and these nonprofit partners, they come and they thank us. And I try to tell them, I'm like, look, we couldn't do this without you. We couldn't be of good to our community without you. And so it really is an amazing partnership. And so I'd love for you to consider with your small group, with your family, you as an individual, there's lots of different opportunities. You can go and talk with them if you'd like about opportunities to serve, not just those organizations, there's other organizations. And if you scan this QR code, it's up on the screen, either that or you can text BCSERVE to 51255, either one. You'll get a link or it'll take you straight to a page. We have in-person service opportunities. We have flexible service opportunities for you who you don't have normal schedules. We have family-friendly opportunities. There's global serving opportunities. So there's something for everybody. And they happen at all different times between now and the end of the year. And so we would love for you to sign up, but not just sign up, but to show up, to sign up and show up for these organizations. Some of those projects, as Tinsley talked about, are due for. Some will be with projects. So figure out what you want to do and how you want to be involved. We would love to just send in a wave of generosity of our time and our presence to these organizations to put wind in their sails for what they do on a regular basis and to create a little bit of incentive. If you sign up today, we're going to finish just a couple minutes early. If you sign up today, we're going to give you a free t-shirt just as a little bit of an incentive. You've seen the Give, Serve, Love t-shirts. If you go ahead and find a project today and sign up you or your group or your family, just take it out and show them in the lobby and we'll give you a free Give, Serve, Love t-shirt for signing up today. But again, I don't want you to just sign up. I want you to show up for these opportunities. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being such a generous church. I want to remind you, again, tonight we have a special night that we've been planning for a while. Our night of worship is happening at 5 o'clock, so make sure you show up for that. It'll be a special time. And if you weren't here in the building today and you're watching online, I think it's expected of you to show up in the building today, tonight, to worship. But it'll be a special time together. Let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to be involved in your work in this community. God, thank you for the people that serve and lead organizations like City of Refuge and Atlanta Mission and Focus Community Strategies and Open Hand. We're grateful for the way you've wired and designed and gifted those people. We're certainly feel privileged to lock arms with them. I just pray that you'd make much of the opportunity we have to serve, that you would deeply impact people in our city, communities in our city, neighborhoods in our city, because we not only were here, but because we showed up for people in many of those people who are in some of their hardest moments of life. And so we're grateful for the way you use us, the way you choose to use us. And we say all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next week, we start a brand new series. I hope you'll join us for it. In the meantime, let's go be the church where we live, work, and play. And we'll see you next Sunday.